right, so this is John Culp in Lafayette, Louisiana, and I'm sitting here with a graduate of our university. This is Melissa DuPriest. Say hi.
Hi.
And she's with me here because she's going to help me learn how to do something that I'm terrible at, and that is to make my audio sound better without uploading it to one of my new favorite services is this place called Awphonic, where you just upload your audio file and they will fix it for you.
Oh, but, nice. Like,
yeah. But you have less control over it. I mean, you're basically, you know, hoping for the best, realizing that I'm terrible at this. They're probably pretty good at it. I'm just going to let them do it and see how it goes. And I got to say, it's been pretty impressive so far. They can take something that has like very short little waveforms, and when it comes back, it all seems evened out, and the quiet parts are louder, and the loud parts are, they still kind of sound loud. But anyway, it sounds pretty good. But I'd like to know how to do this stuff myself. You know, the nerd in me wants to understand it better. And so I have here a lecture that I just recorded, and I'm guessing that you're going to look at that and say, man, you set those levels way too low. Would you?
Looking at a waveform like that, this meter here is going to actually tell you a little bit better because it's telling you where, like, that's, you know, that's unity. Seeing waveforms like this, you can always adjust the sizes of those visually, and so just looking at the waveform, I don't rely on that. Okay. I look at the consistency of the waveform, how this is a big spike compared to this, you know, just to get an idea. But just looking at the waveform, I don't judge that.
Okay, that's probably so the part where I just said something really loud to check, like, what was going to be my peak level, I guess. If I play this.
Start recording. How do the levels look? I'm going to speak loud now.
It's a teensy bit distorted, too, isn't it? I think that little
check
bit
levels
right there.
Or else you can end up recording, like, an hour and have it all distorted, and then it's just lost. And so we'll see how well this works.
I mean, I can hear it. Okay, it's not like I can't hear, but it's like if I were to import a pot like a professionally done podcast into Audacity here, all of those waveforms are like much, much bigger. Like they've used compression or something to even everything out and bring it up to some kind of broadcast standard or some. And so this is where
there are tons of different things you can use for that too. I'm not very familiar with Audacity.
Okay.
I don't really use that. So, let's take a little snippet and,
I've got here maybe nearly 2 minutes, and let me find the compression plugin that seems like the
business.
So, these are the various things you can adjust.
So, about compression. The way compression works is, sometimes I've actually compared it to medication for bipolar disorder.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because people have the manic highs, and then they go and have their depressive lows. And what the medication will do is bring down the highs and, you know, squish it to where, you know, their high moods aren't so drastically high and their lows aren't. So that's what you're doing with volume, basically. But the compressor, it doesn't just, you know, bring the bottom up. It'll bring the loud stuff down. Mm-hmm. It'll squish it and compress it. Then with your output gain, you can move that window up to make up for that.
So you like iron out the differences and then bring the whole thing up to the level you want.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you can do that. Now your compression ratio is... Well, let me explain the threshold first. Mm-hmm. Your threshold is that cutoff point where I don't want anything to be louder than this.
Mm-hmm.
You set your threshold as your roof.
Mm-hmm.
And then your ratio is how much you're compressing. So for... you could say, like, if you have a 3-to-1 ratio, for every 3 decibels that actually goes above your threshold, only 1 is going to come out.
Okay.
So that's kind of how that works, if you have a 3-to-1 ratio.
The default here is set at 0.5. And in the ones that I've tried to do myself earlier, I think I've set it at 1. But I'm a little bit shooting in the dark here, so... And the maximum, is this the threshold you're talking about here, the max amplitude? Is that a different term.
See, yeah, I don't like the, and again, this is audacity. I don't like the terminology that they're using here.
But do you think it's the same thing?
Compression hardness for. Yeah, that's going to be your threshold.
Okay.
Let's see. Let me read this.
So for those of you listening, there are five values that can be changed here. The first is compress ratio. The second is compression hardness. Then there's the floor, which has a negative number to start out with, minus 32 decibels. It looks as the default in Audacity. Then there's a noise gate fall off, which I don't really know what it is. And then the max amplitude.
Audacity here is, it looks like they're trying to combine two different signal processors. They're combining a compressor and a gate. And okay. A compressor and a gate are kind of opposite things. A gate will, when you set a threshold for a gate, you're cutting off anything that's lower in volume.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you set a gate on your microphone when you're giving your lecture, anytime you stopped talking, it would cut all the sound off.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't hear any.
That could sound a little choppy and.
Yeah, it depends on how smooth you set your gate. You can set how quickly and think of it like a gate. A noise has to be loud enough for the gate to open and mm-hmm. sound to come out. And you can set how quickly the gate closes. Mm-hmm. So you can do it to where it kind of like fades and it doesn't even close all the way before you speak again.
Right. I understand.
So that it sounds natural. Mm-hmm. In some cases, you can do a hard gate. For example, if you're doing like a rock and roll band and you have, you typically set gates on all the toms.
Mm-hmm.
So when he's not hitting any of the toms, they're off.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't hear the silence of them being off because the rest of the band is playing.
Exactly.
But every time he hits the tom, there it is, loud and clear and nice. And it doesn't interfere with everything else.
Okay, so this is a different compressor interface. Does this look more like the stuff that you're used to
mm-hmm.
here? Okay, so let's look at this one then. This is the built-in compressor effect in Audacity. The one I was using before was a plug-in that I added because somebody had recommended it online. Wow, somebody online recommended it. So anyway, this one looks like one that you would be more comfortable with.
Yes.
So here we have threshold, noise floor, ratio, attack time, and decay time. So mm-hmm. What would you do if you were engineering these 2 minutes of audio? What would you do to this?
Well, let's see. I would start with lowering the threshold, 'cause your threshold is going to be kind of low anyway, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just take this clip, like where this little section where you have the
mm-hmm.
Loud one right next to the soft one. And let's just listen to that a couple of different ways.
Okay. So you want to just select this bit right here?
Yeah.
And then we'll do effect, compressor.
Mm-hmm.
And so what should I set the
threshold? I'll just lower it maybe to about here. Sure, we'll try that.
There?
Mm-hmm. And okay. I mean, we're just trying this. So
I'm going to move this back a little bit so
right
we don't bang it. There's going to be some bangs in the recording right there, but whatever. I will compress them out later with my newfound knowledge. Okay, so the noise floor is default set at minus 40 dB.
We'll leave that there for now.
Okay.
Turn the ratio up to 3:1.
Okay. All right.
And we'll leave the attack and decay right there for now.
Okay, so I'm going to click OK. And it has dramatically changed the waveform.
Let's listen.
Start recording. How do the levels look? I'm going to speak loud now. And now soft. Okay, I think that'll do. Got to check levels or else you could end up recording like an hour and then have it all distorted. And then
your output gain is too much.
So we'll see how well this works.
Okay, so let's undo.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so you were saying the output gain is too much?
Yes, because you were clipping. Make up.
So that mean I need to lower the threshold more?
No.
No.
Oh. See, they're not giving you an option to change your output gain. So
wait.
Click that.
Uncheck the makeup.
Yeah, makeup gain for 0 dB after compressing. Press based on peaks. We'll leave that.
Let's try
what that does.
With just changing the one thing first.
That's gonna.
Oh yeah, that looks like it's not. So
start recording. How do the levels look? I'm gonna speak loud now. And now soft. Okay, I think I'll do. Gotta check levels, or else you could end up recording like an hour and then have it all distorted, and then it's just lost.
It still sounds.
It sounds distorted. Funny. You're squishing it a lot. Do you hear that it sounds squished?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. Hearing compression is. It takes some time. When it's compressed a lot, you can hear it. Raise your threshold.
Raise the threshold. Whoa. Okay.
We'll try that.
20? Sure. How's that look? Should I have kept the ratio where it was? 3 to 1?
We'll try that. Lot of this is, there's no set numbers to go to every time. I always try a few things, and just knowing how compressors work, you know, where to set the threshold, how to work your ratio. I listen. Yeah. I mean, use your ears.
Start recording. How do the levels look? I'm going to speak loud now. And now soft. Okay, I think I'll do.
That's a lot better.
Got to check levels, or else you could end up recording like an hour. And then
and then granted, we're listening on really crappy little tiny computer speakers. So
yes.
If I were to use my Sennheiser headphones here, it probably would help. But, you know, the audience will not be able to hear that. So let's check one more time. I wonder if, what would you do at this point? Did you like that? I think to me that sounded the best so far.
Yes. Yes.
Those sounds.
I'm not sure what they mean by this noise floor. Let's move it dramatically and see what happens.
Way down here?
Yep.
Minus 70 dB. I plugged in the headphones.
Oh, okay.
My bad.
Gotta check levels, or else you could end up recording like an hour and then have it all distorted, and then it's just lost. So we'll see how well.
I'm not really sure what this works.
It almost seems like I hear more background noise.
And I need to check and see whether this doodad is working.
Probably you do. It seems if the noise floor is set lower, then that would allow more noise in. Is that?
Yeah, I would think. Yeah. That's a neat little feature they have on there. Yeah, I would put that back. The raise the noise floor back.
Okay. So raise it back up. Where was that? Minus 40?
About 40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I might like to have the noise in there. I don't know. I can hear my students rustling
split
around.
Split the difference.
Yeah. We'll put it at 60 instead of minus 80.
There you go.
All right. Well, what about, let's try, on the my previous attempts at compression, I've used a 1.0 ratio. Well, it won't even go down that low, will it? 1.5. Let's just try that. So it doesn't do as much.
Right.
Start recording. How do the levels look? I'm going to speak loud now. And now soft.
Okay, that was excessively loud. I think that's the loudest thing I said the whole
thing.
Just because I was being obnoxiously loud for that one moment. But if we were to take a... You're going to have to go here in a sec, aren't you?
Yeah.
If we were going to take a more normal looking segment of it and then compress that, maybe then the 2.0 threshold, or 2.1, 2 to 1 ratio would be fine. Don't make up gain.
Whether this doodad is working. Get this new gadget. Oh, sweet. Okay. Yeah, check this out. See, I've got this little keyboard. It's like a mini keyboard and a little mouse.
Showing the students a new gadget I got. This is a very compelling part of the class right here. Before class has actually started, I'm just things going. Well, Missy, I know you've got to teach a class here in, 16 minutes. So. Anyway, thank you very much for talking to
me
about compression. I might have some follow-up questions.
Oh, yeah. Feel free anytime. And I'll have to familiarize myself with Audacity.
It's a good thing to know, yeah, because
it is. It is. A lot of people have it. I don't, though.
Well, see, it's free, so you can get
That's right. I have no excuses.
Yeah, that's especially as someone who teaches this kind of stuff. I mean, you work professionally in radio and in live sound and all kinds of things, and so you use the standard professional tools. But
right.
If you end up teaching or even casually helping somebody, they're not going to want to pay a lot of money for
Pro Tools or something.
And so if you have some basic knowledge of Audacity, you can just, just help them.
And a lot of the basic knowledge is the same. Like, all compressors work the same way.
Yeah.
It's just every program has their own little things, you know.
They call things different names. And so you just got to poke around with it. And,
that's right.
Yeah, you're a professional and build it, figure it out. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
And I hope the HPR audience will take some instruction from it. Bye, guys.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.